You are listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony. Please visit our website radiosai.org to listen to our free internet streaming service. On this website, you can access audio streams. The first three are Asia Stream, Afri Stream and Ameri Stream, which offer you programs in the languages common to these geographic regions. The other two streams are Bhajan Stream and Discourse Stream. Click on the Bhajan Stream to listen to a Sai Bhajan at any time of the day. Similarly, to listen to the divine voice of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, please log on to the Discourse Stream. Just log on to radiosai.org and experience the divine love of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. For any inquiries, please email us at listener@radiosai.org.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram, a very good morning and a warm welcome to today's Thursday Live. This is a segment, Service Love in Action, and I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai. And as always, I am joined by Brother Sunil, the audio engineer. And at the very outset, let us all collectively offer our most humble pranams at the voice and listener of Radio Sai Global Harmony, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Well, the time right now in our studio is 11:15 a.m. and today is 10th of October. The weather here at Prashantilam Ashram is very, very pleasant and fine. Well, sometimes it's hot, slightly hot, sunny, and sometimes it's cool, but it's very pleasant here. And the Navaratri festival celebrations is on here at Ashram. Well, the Grama Seva Yajnam, which is a part of Navaratri festival, where Bhagwan's students go to the villages in and around Puttaparthi and give Swami's Prasadam to the villagers at their doorstep, has food packets and clothes started on 6th of this month, and today is the 5th day of Gram Seva, and it will go on till 14th of this month. And the second Yajnam, the Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajnam, which is also a part of the Navaratri celebrations here at Prashantilam, started on 8th of this month, that is 2 days back, and so today is the 3rd day of Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajnam, which happens in Purnachandra Auditorium here at Prashantilam. And in the evenings, at 4:30, starts the Vidwana Mahasabha, which is a program where about 2 or 3 speakers, that is Bhagwan students, speak to us in Sai Kulanth Hall about different spiritual topics, and after which there will be a musical program. So it also started on 8th of this month, and on 8th, evening, there was a musical program by the Muddenahalli campus of Bhagwan's University, and yesterday, that is 9th, was the musical program was given by the Vrindavan campus of Bhagwan's University, and tomorrow it will be by the Anantapur campus, and on 13th of this month, the program will be a dance program by the Prashanti dance group. So the atmosphere here at Prashantilam Ashram is fully divinely charged with a lot of activities as part of the Dasara celebrations. Coming back to today's segment, this is a segment, Service Love in Action, in which we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to humanity. Today, in this segment, I'll be playing for you a recorded conversation with Mr. Dalvi Paladi, the CEO of Pennywise Company, a cosmetic company at Trinidad and Tobago, and with Mr. Danny Scott, who again has his own supplies company. So these two, Mr. Dalvi and Mr. Danny, are from Trinidad and Tobago, and this conversation was recorded a couple of months back, that was in the month of August, when they had come here with a group from Trinidad and Tobago as part of their annual Perthi visit. So when they had come here, or in the month of August, they had done a lot of service here at Prashantilam Ashram also, in a couple of villages near Perthi, that is in Kuntipalli and Kuntipalli Thanda. The group had 18 of them, and they went to these villages and distributed grocery items to the villagers that is rice, dal, sugar, oil, etc. And then they also distributed soaps, saris to the women folk and dhotis to the men folk, and even cricket sets and football sets also for few schools there in the villages, that is Guntipalli village and Guntipalli Thanda. Well, the villagers were just overwhelmed and swept away by their love and compassion. So in the conversation which I'm going to play for you today with Mr. Dalvi and Mr. Danny, they will be speaking to us about a unique service activity which they have been undertaking at their place, that is Trinidad and Tobago. This activity, service activity, they have named it as home building. So in this service activity, what they do is they find out genuine people who really need home, poor people, and they construct prefabricated houses. So they'll be talking about this, and they also said why they have named it as home building. They explain the word home. Now the word home spells H-O-M-E. So they say H stands for heaven, E stands, the last letter E stands for earth, and in between the two letters O-M, O is stands for God. So they say that home is a place where God comes down to connect heaven with earth. This is the sanctuary. Home is a sanctuary of love. So let's listen to this conversation with Mr. Dalvi and Mr. Danny, which was recorded in the month of August. And in conversation with them is Radio Size Arvind, the fame of afternoon satsang. And so this conversation will go on till 12:30. So it's about 1 hour and 15 minutes. And after this conversation, Brother Arvind and Prem will take on the next segment of today's Thursday Life, that is afternoon satsang. So let's listen to the conversation. And with this, I also sign off for today. Jai Saram.
Offering our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet, it is indeed a honor, privilege and blessing that in the Radio Sai studios today we have Mr. Dalvi and Mr. Danny, amazing human beings, amazing people, successful people coming from the other part of the globe compared to Puttaparthi, which is Trinidad and Tobago. And I'm sure that the experiences of service that you're about to share with us will be fantastic for our listeners worldwide. Sai Ram and welcome to Radio Sai Studios. First, Brother Dalvi, we know that you are the successful owner of one of the most successful retail chains in the whole of the West Indies, Pennywise. And it would be really amazing for our listeners to know how you grew professionally, because you have been there from the days when you had to literally go selling on the roads. That's what you had said. So from there to now, heading one of the biggest corporations, I'm not yet familiar with the stats and figures, but I think that would be interesting for our listeners to know how you grew from a salesman walking on the road to the owner of this empire.
Actually, our business started with my father-ji here. We are four brothers, one sister. All the brothers, as we started selling in the marketplace, walking about and having a little stall in the market, we used to walk and sell pins and clips, you know. Here, clips and pins. And from there, even then, I, being one of the sons, already knew when I was selling my pins and clips that it was more than just sales. We didn't have much, but we had one thing. And since I was very young, we knew we were selling love as pins. As we business started to grow, we started to open some wholesale
selling place. Love as pins, that's fantastic. How did you get that idea?
At that time, we didn't know, but we knew that anybody bought my pins or razor blades got some happiness, because I always sell out everything my father gave to me as against my other brothers. And we knew that there was something behind how we could sell so much. We were trying to make people happy while we were selling those pins, even at a young age. So with that, the business started to form, and business in the marketplace itself got bigger Then we decided to do some wholesale as the brothers got bigger and went to university, high school and so on. And we did some retail outlets. We started to open one, then two, then three. And very early we knew we had a ceiling on how many stores we have to open. All these simple decisions were taken more by me than my dad, as he had his first heart attack when he was 34 years. And when he was 34, which is over 25 years ago, I was already training. I was very young. I was about 25, 26 years. And at that time, I sort of took over the business. Then I brought in all my brothers. Some had degrees and so on. And we told them, let's work for ourselves. And we can be our own bosses. And we could achieve anything with, at that time, what God has given to us.
So, basically, your father had a small business of, you say, novelty items, like pins and blades and other things. And you used to sell it on the roads. And because you used to do it well, your business grew.
Correct.
What was your father's influence on you in this?
Of course, my father influenced. The first impact of our father was sacrifice. He taught us that while we were in that little shed, there was one lady who was even what you call financially less fortunate than us. Okay. Right? And all of us were sleeping in one, six of us in one room. And he took time out and went one Sunday, and he built a two-bedroom wooden house for that family.
He built it, meaning?
He actually bought all the materials, and we took time out. I was there. I was very young, maybe 20 years old. And we went and built a two-bedroom wooden shack for them, because they didn't have any home. They didn't have a proper home. And only 2 weeks ago, my mom is telling me that he also gave them a cow. I only found out that 2 weeks ago. And the next week, whole week, he was uncomfortable. So the next week, he went and built a shed for the cow also.
Okay. See? No, but a cow costs money. So you had that kind of money?
We didn't have that kind of money. That is the point. He took out of sacrifice. He's given. They have even less. Therefore, he's given to even people who have less than him. You know? There was one other incident with my dad which stuck here and taught us what selfless service is. Every year, he would make what you call prasadam for a primary school. It's 400 children there.
A primary school in Trinidad.
In Trinidad. Hmm. And this year, when he got his heart attack, things was very, very difficult for us because we were financially down then. And we were not even having money to buy groceries. We were taking in trusts from supermarket. And the principal of the school expected my dad to make this prasadam for the 400 children. So they just sent a message that they would want the prasadam at this time. And my father never told them that he didn't have no money to purchase all the articles. And he took in trust and he went ahead and he sent the prasadam, never told them anything. Until he recovered, then we paid back the bill and so on.
Okay. So they had ordered for the prasadam?
Of course.
Okay.
Thinking that we are okay.
So your father taught you that it doesn't matter even if you give up what belongs to you, as long as you can serve others and see a smile on.
Of course, he taught us, as I told, selfless service. We saw it there, and my mother also is also a big part of this. Because while my father was toiling and fighting to keep these six children in check, my mom was a stay-at-home housewife seamstress. So she is always sewing day and night. They would sew, you know, she's sewing until she eventually became a specialist seamstress for wedding dresses as we got older also.
Oh, okay. And what was your mother's impact in this, on you?
Again, my mother is always there strong and never ever giving up. Always happy and always making sure that we were contented with anything we had.
And how did the flip over occur from being just subsistence to becoming such a huge company? What was the turning point?
The key drivers were serving the people in that market. We had a, Swami had made sure that we had competition just over the road, you know, as would everywhere. Small stall here, small stall here. Okay. And Trinidad was polarized between blacks and Indians. Okay. And we had to be selfless. We had to share love to get the blacks to come by our stall.
Okay.
You know, and that taught
us. You mean to say the blacks would go only to the black stall?
That's right.
Okay.
It was like that. You know, majority of them will go there. So to get the black people to come on our stall, we had to be open. We have to share love. And because that aura stall, they used to hijack prices, you know, and to get people to listen to us, hey, look, we are giving the same thing, we are giving you it as a service, you know. Sometimes we would buy product that was hard to get then at the cost price, let's say at a retail store, just to have it, and we will sell it back at the retail price.
So no profit?
No profit sometimes, just to serve the customer.
Oh.
See? So from there, the business started to grow, and Swami gave us these negotiating powers. So many people who didn't want to rent or sell a place, they would sell to us when we approached them. Many times, we would see, as the business progressed, that the business, the building owners or the property owners will always come afterwards when we are ready to sign the document and say, hey, you know, I'm selling this property for very less. Can you give me some cash on the side, you know? And they are the owners. Hmm. And this is how it works. That Swami always makes sure we get the properties at not the market value, but the real value, not the market value. So we always got a deal, no matter what, since we were very, very young in business.
You started saying that, you know, Swami was there to guide you and Swami helped you that way. How did you get to know Swami, first of all?
Again, parents. My parents came to India back in 84, 82 actually. Hmm. And they came and they put Swami's photo in our altar.
Same. How did your parents come to know of Swami in India? Or
my parents had come from that trip by going to Sai centers. We were not into Sai centers. We were traditional Hindu. We used to do family prayer every Wednesday though. And my family came from a lineage where we used to have Mahabharat. We used to have Ramayana Yajna. Mm-hmm. And these kinds of
the epics would
prayers.
Be.
Correct. Prayers. 7 nights, sometimes 15 nights, 3 times feeding.
The Parayanam, they call it.
Yes, they would do the sacrifices. And so we grew up in that kind of holy environment. But we were what we call traditional Hindu. We had forgotten for a while what vegetarian life is. You know, just for a few years. And so Swami pulled us back. And so we started.
Yeah, how did that happen? Means in the sense, how did your father get to know Swami when he had come to India? Or did anybody tell him? Or did he get a dream, a vision?
No, he didn't get a dream. He had started to go to satsang. He was called in by some pandit man. Hmm. And this pandit man, Pandit Sharma, his name is, he started to invite my parents to satsang, different place. And then Mr. Chailarupalal Singh, all these people from our country, they started to like our family, if you want to call it that.
Okay.
And so they would invite, you know, come and join with us. Mr. Ramsaran, Gopi Ramsaran there is also. And they would invite, and so my father started to get fit. And again, it was a very difficult challenge to carry 3 people. He, my mom and my sister had to come to India. And the business was still budding, you know.
Hmm.
But again, full sacrifice, knowing now that there is some faith there, they came to Swami. When they came back and said, Swami is God. Hey, how is Swami is God? What is this Swami man is God? And they put his picture right in all our altar.
Hmm.
And so, I looked there. I was a strong, I still am, Lord Ram Bhakta.
Okay.
So, I used to go to sleep saying, Om Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram. I always remember, Baba put someone in my school named Jai Ram.
Okay.
And every time I'm saying Jai Ram, I don't want to remember Jai Ram. So, I'll say, Jai Ram, Jai Ram in my mind. To make sure I'm focusing Lord Ram.
Okay.
So when they come and they put this photo there, I'm like, hey, who is this Sai Baba? And I went after Lord Ram to come to tell me who is this Sai. For one thing I knew, and this is the fate again based on parents, that my parents will never teach me the wrong thing. But still, I cannot go with blind faith. So I pursued my Lord Ram until 84 when Swami started to come in my dream.
Okay.
You know, and he continued. He played a game with me, actually. This is how I got my faith. He gave me a long dream. I had never read a Sai literature. And he created Navaratna, little stone like, after I will find his Navaratna Mala. He had made his 9 gems and he created it for me. And then he had played a game with me. And after this whole sequence take place and then even RT is finished, when I got up, I was crying. I documented my dream then. And then I found out, I asked my dad, because I'm so emotional, knowing now that Swami is God, that, Pa, what is this? So my dad said, I had read this somewhere. I said, you have read what I dreamt? How is that possible? And so, for 2 weeks, I will pursue him and other leads in the organization to find out what is the significance of these little gems.
Navratna Mala.
Yes.
It was a necklace, a garland.
He created 9 gems for me.
Oh, okay.
You know, in a havan, a big havan kund, up on a stage in Purnachandra
Auditorium.
I was Navim in India, actually.
Okay.
You know, so when he made these gems and so on.
So when you saw the dream of Purnachandra, you had not visited Puttaparthi at all.
I had not even read a Saila Chicha.
Okay.
You know, this is the budding faith is coming. So Swami came and he gave me this and then he played a game with me on the stage and then the program is finished. So then I'm pursuing, where is this, what is this gem? And 2 weeks after, I will find out in a book, Vision of the Divine, everything I had dreamt was written in a book. And at the end, Swami says, anyone who shall see this taking place shall know he has seen God in human form. And even in the dream, when he was playing the game and he had given me some of the marbles and he asked me for them, he said, how much do I have? And I told him, hey, you are God. Why are you asking me anything? You know everything. Don't ask me any questions. And so this faith has come full.
So after that day, you had no other doubts?
No doubt.
So you believed that Swami is God even before you even saw him?
Correct.
Fantastic. And then didn't you get the urge to come and see Swami?
Yes. It's a whole sequence of things because then Swami started to take charge of everything. Like when I was to get married just 4 years after, just in 1986-84, he came in a dream. 86, I saw my wife and I made him come to select her for me. He came in a dream with Lord Shiva and so on. And that is another experience. And he came and he selected my wife for me. So the first thing I wanted to do when I got married in 88, 2 years after courting, is I want to carry my wife to experience Swami because she is a Lord Shiva devotee. She doesn't know much about Swami. So let's go for what you call, as soon as we are married, before the honeymoon, we will come here to ashram and then we'll go to Prashanti, to our honeymoon and so on.
So by then, had your business grown or was it?
Oh, the business is all this time, it's always like a tidal wave moving behind. It's growing all the time, it never stopped. Actually, this is my 25th year that Swami has put me to run this business. And it is like a tidal wave. Because for the last 25 years, including this year, we have seen more growth in this business every year since its inception. So it's growing more and more and more. And you know, this business, one or two stats, we have like 160,000 plus customers. But we only have 8 little stores. And we are impacting, all the personal care companies in the world. All are clamoring to sell to us direct, although they have distributors in our country. So all these types of what I call magic, you know. Just before we left, we have, these perfume companies. All these perfume companies, French perfume companies are there. And we found that L'Oreal Prestige Perfume, which is Ralph Lauren and so on, they came to my office just 2 weeks ago. And they have asked that they sell to us. And we don't sell duty free. We sell on the ground. We sell on the street, you know, in normal stores. And we were just agreed. We got confirmation just last week that they have agreed to sell us. Even after interviewing us and finding out, you know, checking out our business and so on. So like things like Draka, which everybody knows.
So do you think you're the only store that is doing this?
We feel very much so that there are not many companies, if any, who is buying from the Burberry, Versace, Azzaro, Elizabeth Arden, Perry Ellis. All these companies are selling us directly. You know, and we know, actually, Kia Butina, I keep going. 80% of the brands worldwide, French perfumes, we are buying direct from the manufacturer.
Wow. That's a phenomenal growth. We'll come back to that, how you grew, how Pennywise has grown, as well as how the service has grown. But before that, our other guest, sorry, Mr. Danny, for keeping you waiting. Yeah, could you enlighten me and our listeners about yourself and the work you do professionally?
Yeah, well, our stories are a little different. My mother and father started the business when we were small, maybe 8-9 years old.
What was the business about?
It's a distribution business. They started with one line. As a matter of fact, it was adhesives at the time. Henkel out of Germany. And my father sold his car, bought a van, and used to drop us to school in the van, go and do deliveries and sales during the day and pick us up in the afternoon in the van. very, very small, him and my mother, I mean, no capital to start, just an agency. And that's how they started, with an industrial adhesive. He would sell to factories that use adhesives.
Okay.
And he was an excellent salesman, but not a very good businessman.
Hmm.
And my mother was a very good business person, run the business.
Okay.
So it started very small, maybe 44 years ago. And everyone told them they have no chance to do well because my father had no experience, neither of them had any business experience. And she always gives a story when she first started, she had 5 children, very small children when she started, and she used to do the bills and the accounts at home and he would be out doing the deliveries. And one of the big companies called and she answered the phone and she said, could I get the accounts department? She said she was actually breastfeeding my smallest brother.
Okay.
And she said, hold a second. And she went to an answer and said, accounts department. And,
okay.
You know, so she was there and that's how it started. And we were Christians, but not very strong in that way. No idea of Baba for sure at that time. And the business started to do very well. And she was able to afford to send us to school and then university was very, very important to her.
Hmm.
And she made sure that all her children got the opportunity to go to university. As she said, if there's one thing she can do, that's the one thing she wants to do.
Okay.
And when I came back from university, I got involved in the business at that time.
So it was just distributing adhesives, you said?
No, but then it began to distribute perfumes and deodorants and shampoos and food items, and it started to become a bigger distribution company. By the time I became involved, there were several different kinds of items being involved.
And today, what all do you distribute?
Oh, a wide range, very, very wide range.
Yeah, could you give us an idea?
We do a lot of personal care, of which we do business with Pennywise.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, strange enough, we do a fair amount of business with Pennywise, but my relationship with Dalvi is very little to do with business. The business is separately. But our relationship is a lot more to do with spirituality and service than business.
Okay, we will come to that.
Yes.
Yes. Before we go to that, how you and Brother Dalvi got together in your service, how did you get to know Swami?
About, I guess, a little over 20 years ago, I read a book, Man of Miracles. Just someone left it near to a bed that I stayed in a holiday resort. And I just read this book and I was really amazed. His philosophy just hit me for 6. But when they said he could do miracles and people pray to him, as a Christian, I said, what a living man at this, you know, in this modern day. I was turned off when I heard that. But I loved his philosophy. Yeah, loved it. And about a few years later, I read the same book again. I had kept the book and I read it again and loved it again. And then when they spoke about the miracles again, I still said, no way. And then a few years later, my mother said she's going to see Sai Baba in India. And I said, how?
How did she get an idea?
I have no... She had a friend who was going with Gopi Ramcharan, who he mentioned also, and she was invited and she asked me to come with her too because she really wanted company. And I said, no way. First of all, it's too busy and I'm not going to see some strange man in India, even though his philosophy is good, you know. And that was in August, and between August and December, I was just bombarded with people who know Baba and give me stories. And from not meeting anyone for all those years before, for those 4 months, it was just, and with 3 weeks to go, I just said, I'm coming. I want to see, I know he's not real, but I want to see what his trick is, and that's how I came to India, maybe 21 or 22 years ago.
And what was your first experience when you saw him?
At the first afternoon I came, we were offloading the suitcases and he was out already. And I just saw this man in orange and it was like a huge attraction. But still, he was a man, you know, he was a living man and I couldn't. And it took we were here for 3 weeks and for 2 weeks and 4 days, I was just getting way in the back line and not getting close to him at all. And I was just very frustrated. And then when I had given up and said, listen, I'm going home. This is not for me for sure. I got a front row in those days, and he came and made vibhuti for someone behind me, directly over my head. Someone said, Baba Vibhuti, the guy in row number two. And he made it over my head, where I could look up. I mean, it was actually over my head he made it, and I couldn't doubt it at that stage. And okay. he didn't take me on, but he walked off a few feet away, and then he turned back and smiled and pat me on my head and walked off. And, you know, I just... And then every day I got front row after that, and he made vibhuti all around me, and I don't cry often. I'm not... But that night I cried because I knew I had to change. I knew I would change, but I had to. And I knew I would change when I go back to train. I was wondering how I would be this change in a Christian family where there's alcohol and, you know, all... We all eat meat. I used to hunt. Hunting was my sport. I have hunting dogs.
Oh.
I hunted for 15 years every single week. Hunting was my sport. So I'd kill animals, cut open their guts, pull it out, cook it. And so I knew I would be changing when I get back, and I was really, really worried about how it would happen.
You knew this because you read that Swami doesn't like it? Or
yeah, no, I knew Swami didn't like meat. I was reading a lot of, especially on that trip, and I always... My interaction with Swami is not through dreams, not through his physical. It is always through books and quotations and all that. That's my, his philosophy is my connection with him.
Wow.
And I knew I would change. I knew it for sure. But how, I was thinking if someone else came back from India and said, oh, I went to see Sai Baba and you shouldn't eat meat and you shouldn't drink, I'd say, you're some weird guy. So I knew they would look at me. Well, at least I felt that. And immediately Baba used to have something outside in chalk, the thought for the day.
Correct.
And that night he said, this is the night before I went to Trinidad. He said, I am the frog and you are the tadpole. The difference between me and you is you have a tail of desire and ego and all that, and you have to lose that tail to become a frog. But you cannot take a knife and cut off the tail. It has to fall off naturally. It has to fall off over time. And I just felt a sense of peace come over me, and I said, you know, and it was the most smooth process possible. When I went back, everyone accepted, you know.
Gradually.
There was no problem at all. No problem at all.
And so you gave up hunting?
I have two friends in particular who I gave this story to, and they still call me Tadpole as my nickname. Is it?
Okay, that's interesting.
But I didn't, that immediately, I didn't eat meat, didn't drink, didn't smoke from that day.
Onwards.
From that day, yeah. And I was doing it up to the day before I came to India. So it was an immediate problem, but he made it really easy for me. He really did. That I have to say is not willpower. That was Sai power.
Oh, great. You were saying that you also had meat at home or no before?
Yes, of course. Our family was going in that way.
Okay.
And of course, Swami took it out immediately over time, actually. That experience is, he took away the meat and we were not even knowing that it's gone. Because, you know, I have been playing games with Swami since the first day I met with him. He played a game first to introduce me to him, and then I have been playing games with him.
Brother Dalvi, just before we proceed, you know, you mentioned so many times, Swami played this game with me, I played this game. Maybe our listeners are not aware of this unique relationship that you share. What do you mean by playing a game with Swami and Swami plays a game with me?
I'll give you an example with the meat eating.
Okay.
When I used to eat meat, and I realized I shouldn't be eating meat, I told Swami, it is his fault I am eating meat. Because if he didn't want me to eat meat, why did he make me born into a family which would eat meat?
Okay.
So it's not my fault. And now I have taken up this fault, so he has to come to help me to get rid of this fault.
Okay.
So I will pursue him and quarrel with him and tell him that when I eat meat because I like it and it's his fault, that until he could help me to get rid of it, I will eat it. But I will try to stop, and anything that I can't make, he will have to go that extra mile and help me to get rid of this fault.
So did you get rid of it?
Of course.
How did it happen?
Within 3 years after we marry, when our first child was being born, at about 2 years after we were married, this is in 1990, my wife never ate no meat. Because we already knew that we would become vegetarians. So when the child was conceived, from the time she knew the fetus is there, she stopped eating meat.
So that the child doesn't get that.
Correct, just for the child's sake. And so until she suckled the child, then she will start back. And then she got pregnant 2 years after with another child. So then she will have to stop again. But
okay.
Before the end of that second child, she always told me, I will stop eating when you stop eating. You know, because we wanted to go it together. But Swami had his own plan. You see, I love chocolate cake. And I had gone to one of my business trips in Miami as the business was growing. And I had carried what we call a thick chocolate cake that you could only get in the US. And I had brought it home. But it was Swami's birthday night when we came home. So from the plane, we went home. And then we went and we rocked the jeweler. And then this cake remained in our home for 6 days until the expiry date is coming. So our business was small, just under our house in those days. So I just told her, give it to the workers. I don't want no cake. No, I love chocolate up to today, you know. And we didn't realize what he has already done. So then my wife said, what is the matter? I said, I'm not feeling to eat any meat anymore. So she says, okay, when we go to our mother-in-law's place, we will eat some meat there, you know.
Mm.
So I said, you know, I think I don't want any more meat. So she's like, hey, but what about me? And then the egg in the cake is what Swami made sure didn't come into me. This okay. is how it, so even eggs we don't eat. Now my wife wasn't a vegetarian, obviously. So how did she come a vegetarian? Mm. Now she is feeling she has to eat meat for one more time.
But you just, on one fine day you stopped meat?
Finish.
You lost the desire to eat it.
100%. So my wife now, this is where the game is. With Swami.
So that was the game. So you told Swami you had to make it go and he made it go.
Correct. Now the game continues to get my wife to stop now.
Huh.
So she's not ready. So she says she wants one more time. Some Chinese food, you know. So I says, okay Swami, she wants this one more time. Listen, I'm going to do something. I will eat this meat one more time. But I am not taking any of the karma. You will have to take the karma. Because same way how you could get me to stop, you could get her to stop. So I need you to get her to stop or I will eat one more time. Just to please her mind as duty to my wife. You see? And so, within that week of making a decision where to go and buy, you know, this food, because it was Christmas time, we didn't have time during Christmas, he's planned everything. Time the between Christmas and New Year's when we have time to go to this restaurant, my wife has said she's given up, her desire's gone also. And so her desire went.
So she didn't have it that time?
She never had no meat, no egg since then also.
Wow.
So, game.
Fantastic. So how did you two meet up, you and Brother Danny?
I think early on, Dalvi's dad used to come and buy from our company. He used to come in and buy and maybe sell in the market or when he was just opening the first
store.
So
you were like the wholesaler, they were the retailers?
Yes, okay. Yes. And then I believe I met Dalvi a couple of times before and he spoke to me about Baba and about a picture with Vibhuti. I just remember talking about a picture with Vibhuti coming out. I mean, it was...
This was before you came?
Before
or?
I came.
Just okay. before 1990.
This was just before... He was one of the people I met before that trip.
Okay.
And when I came on that trip, he was here with his wife also, but we didn't come together. I came with another group and he was here. And when we spoke a bit, I met his wife and his small son at the time. And that's how we met, and then when we went back to Trinidad, we kept in touch, and
it was a heart-to-heart relationship as soon as we met, you know, because we were just business associates. We were like the small businessman, he's a big businessman, but he never presented himself like that. He presented us as a brother, as humble as he is up to now. And so, as our business grew on, we probably, you know, go up in class, if you want to call it that. His humility, of course, is reflected even in me now, how we deal with people. There is no upper and lower. All this is him.
So you learned that trait of humility from...
Oh, not exactly. It was already there in me. But also, at that time, he was like the big businessman. You know, and we saw his humility. This is what attracted us to him. You know?
Okay. Now, coming to one of the most important points of this interview, what I wish that the world gets to know, is this amazing, unique kind of seva that you do. That is, find out a person who is in need of it, and then provide him or her or their family with a complete house. And, well, I would allow that to evolve as the interview goes on. So, could you tell us, how did you begin this kind of unique service of building homes for those who lacked homes?
This service thing started, of course, ever since our little samiti only had 10 people or 20 people.
This is in Port of Spain?
In our village, which is Tunapuna.
Huh?
We had a little samiti open immediately after Sai Center immediately after my father came back from India. They opened a Sai Center with only family members and little villagers.
Okay.
So we started to just fix the neighbor's yard. We were very young, under 25 years old, just about. And we would find a neighbor who doesn't have nobody to clean her yard. We would fix somebody galvanized. Then I remember that we painted a school, but we couldn't afford to paint the whole school. A primary school with 500 children. We could only afford to paint the downstairs of the school.
Okay.
And with 20 of us youth, you know, we were youth then, we just bought paint because that's all we could afford. And we only painted the downstairs of the school. But I remembered as a lead since then that the only reason we wanted to paint that school while we were there is when those little children would come in the morning and smell that new paint. They will be the happiest little children in God's earth. If you ever was a child and you smell paint, fresh paint, you will know how you will feel like it's the cleanest, most purest place you have gone. And so much dust and rust was in there, and we fixed and we repaired and everything. That little school, maybe 250 children will fit downstairs. It's upstairs, downstairs. And that project was the beginning of this evolution. That Swami didn't stop. So then we went one day and we saw a family whose father had died, but he had done a concrete foundation. Actually, the concrete foundation was away from a wooden house. And he's died 6 or 7 years now. So the whole wooden structure that he had prepared, so he will only live there for maybe a year or two, it's totally rotten. But there are 3 young girls sitting there. They were about 13 to 16 years. And their clothes too were tattered, like if they was wearing the same clothes for 7 years.
Oh, okay.
And their mom is half crazy. So she is also in that house, and every time we try to speak to her, she's hiding. You know, and I remember some of our group had gone to see this place, because at that time we used to build wood house. You know, we would put some, what we call hollow steel, and we would weld it, and we would put it together, you know, with wooden ply. Anything to put somebody out of, you know, the rain, if you want to call it that. And immediately I told my guys, I say, hey, we'll build a wooden house for them here, you know, and the foundation, actually the, only the...
When you say I told my guys, who are your guys?
The same guys who are coming with me for maybe 10 years now within the Samiti, within the Sai Center.
Oh, so these were the first members of your Sai Center
correct,
in Tunapuna.
Little group, correct. So this little group, maybe 10 of us or 12 of us is there. And we agreed. First we said we'll build a wooden house on the foundation. And then say, no, we'll build a concrete structure. So everybody watching me like, are you crazy? How we could build concrete? We never even build a house like this. And I said, yes, there are 4 people. We will build a 2-bedroom with an attached toilet and bath. Concrete then. But a concrete house took like 2.5 to 3 months to build. And plenty management with people even then, you know, to get labor the right way for a good price. It's very difficult.
So when you say build a concrete house, did you go and help in the building or you sponsored it?
No, we built the foundation and we got masons and so on to put up the blocks. We can't put up blocks. And then we would go and put up the roof, because that's what our specialty was. Helping in roofs and so on. You know, when your roof is rotting, we will change the roof for you. All right. And so from that, then there was a hurricane in Grenada. In Grenada.
Oh, by then you two had got to know each other.
I got a call once to go and help in a house to literally mix concrete. Take a shovel, mix concrete, put it in a bucket, carry to make a foundation. I don't know if it was that same one or a later one. But the first time I ever went on a house building seva was to mix concrete for a foundation.
What made you go? See, you were a successful businessman.
He called me and said, look, we're doing this project. Are you interested? And I said, yes. And I just came as labor. No money. He put the money. I was the labor.
Okay. No, but it takes, you know, because you are having a successful business, what inspired you to go and get your hands dirty?
Maybe our Sai connection. Yeah. I mean, he called and I went. I didn't even think about it, to tell you the truth. He called, it was a Sunday and we...
So you actually started off by painting some homes or painting a school, helping in that way. See, because when people think of seva, they think of providing food for people or they think of teaching them or something like that. I want to know, what was it that actually pushed you along this making a shelter? Why in Trinidad are there a lot of people without shelter? Is it something like that?
Yes, but even before we were doing this house building, even in between, we were doing medical camps. We do all different types of service very, very early. We would connect with the Sai organization, and I would learn. I would learn from my father. His name was Mr. Seva.
Oh.
You know, within the Sai fold. Hmm. So he's always there in front. But at that time, we didn't have the finances to push for bigger services or bigger activity or different type of activity. You know, so this evolution took place, and I would watch and learn from him, watching how he controls doctors, how he asks them, how he get them to come together. And now we use that talent so that when we meet people like Danny, it's a gift I have. I will just say, Danny, let's go. We have this project, and he will come. And many people say, don't call me, because when you call me, I cannot say no. So it's a nice experience, you know, a nice gift to have.
So you feel that your passion for service and your ability to call in others for service is a gift from your father to you?
Yes, it's a gift from both fathers, actually. Yes,
okay.
For sure. Swami's put it there.
Okay.
It was probably revealed over time, you know. But yes, my father taught us that.
So yeah, let's continue. You were saying that you called to carry concrete and mix concrete.
And then later on, there was this hurricane in Grenada, very, very bad hurricane.
Hmm.
And I got a call from him. He says, we're going to Grenada tomorrow morning. I have a business running. And he says, I booked the tickets. We're going tomorrow morning.
Okay.
I say, okay. So we jump on a flight the next day and go to this totally, devastated island, devastated. And he says, we're going to build 3 houses in Grenada.
Okay.
And we did some research, met families, and made sure it was like women with children there were hundreds who we could have
Correct.
Dealt with, but we picked 3 and then came back to Trinidad and started planning on how we're going to build these houses in a different island. It's not even in our home island. And we got a list of all the construction material, got trucks, put it on a ship to go across to there, flew across to make sure we cleared all the things. Dalvi arranged for a work crew to be there also. So we were there, we went regularly to make sure while it was being built. And there were 3 homes that were built from scratch out of conventional material in those days. Concrete, bricks.
Wood.
Yes.
Okay, so that would have taken months again.
Yes.
In Grenada.
But that matter of fact was fairly quick, maybe 2 months.
Okay. Now, 2 questions come to my mind. First thing is, how do you select? There are 1,000 people. How do you select the 2 or 3 to build? And the second question, I'll state it in case I should not forget it. The question that always comes is, how do you get the resources to do this? One is the manpower resources. The other, of course, is the financial resources.
Before I continue, we must remember that within our Sai Center, there is not one like me. There are 2 like me. I have a younger brother who is just as passionate. And he's also very, very, very able to get you to come to any program. Actually, only yesterday, they built a house, and most of the strong core team is here in the ashram. But a house was built and finished at 9:30.
Yesterday
in Trinidad.
Okay.
So he's also billing every other week. We bill every other week. You know, once the chance is there, we do our work, you know. And that's notwithstanding grammar, seva, and so on, you know.
You said you build every week, but just now you were saying that it takes 2 months to build a house.
Oh, this is where we come to the prefab housing.
Okay, yeah.
Are we reaching there already?
Yeah, please. Yes, definitely. As I said, the other 2 questions, how do you select the family?
Okay, selection of family comes through the newspaper. You may see something in the newspaper. And the average human will read the paper and say, oh, these people are so unfortunate. Maybe I will take care of them. And by tomorrow, you are forgotten. We tear off these slips. And then members of our teams will find people and they will bring it to our attention. But there are certain criteria for us to serve someone.
Okay, what are these criteria?
The criteria is 1, you must own your property.
Land.
You must own the land.
Okay.
Right? 2, you must be a progressive family. There must be something keeping you from progressing. You must have a husband died and you have 3 young daughters. Or you must have some 6th child which kept you from moving, and then you remain one spot stagnant. But there is what we call a culture in your children. The children are cultured. You could see they want to progress. They want to be successful.
So there's potential to be successful.
Yes, of course. We see it in them. And the 3rd one is, you must never try to find out who we are. Very important one. So we tell them, if you inquire who we are, I'm sorry, our duties change. Now it will be duty to a friend. And we don't want to serve friends. We want to serve selflessly, not even at a friend level.
Okay.
You know, we want to serve the God in you at that level.
Okay.
See? So, the prefab housing came about. There was an earthquake in Haiti. What year, Danny?
2009 or 2010.
Exactly, yeah. 2010, I think.
Yeah.
Or 2009. And immediately before that, we were planning to go to Haiti. And Danny has decided, he's a personal care businessman, but he's decided to bring in a machine, computerized and so on, that could prefab housing. So maybe he will tell us what inspired him.
What is prefab housing?
Okay, so we sell perfumes, pharmaceuticals, food stuff. And all of a sudden, someone comes to me with this concept where there's a machine that is connected to a software. And whatever design is in the software, the machine manufactures the complete steel frame for the house.
Okay.
And I say it's a good idea. I'm not even thinking of Swami and Dalvi. I'm just saying it's a good idea. And as I get more and more involved in it and saying, why am I even talking about construction? It's so far away from what
your
I
business.
Do. I mean, it's and I just knew, when I really thought about it, I knew I was being guided in that direction. Because at that time, we had already built some houses with conventional. And I just saw this is so fast and easier. And so I'm going into it with two things, thinking of it as a business, but also thinking of it that it will be such a great system to do the service. And that's how we did the first set. I think we built four houses in 3 days in Haiti after the
So how does a prefab house look like? I mean, what do you get? Materials?
We manufacture the pieces and put together the panels in the factory. So a house may have 20 panels, but the panel may have a window already built into it, a door frame already into it. So you put those panels together and then clad it on the outside and clad it on the inside.
Oh, that's wow. So you just go and 10, 15 of you build it up and it's ready in a day?
Yes.
And how big is a prefab house?
The house is 400 square feet, two bedrooms and an area for a living room and a kitchen.
Wow.
The bathroom is difficult to do within the one day, so we sometimes give them the materials to do the bathroom after. Before.
And now, how sturdy and durable is this prefab?
Very, very. It's hurricane and earthquake, which are the two risks in the Caribbean. It's very, very resistant to those two things. Very, and fire and termites, all those things they do.
So can it last a lifetime?
Yes. It will last a lifetime, for sure.
Okay, so it was the Haiti earthquake that brought about prefabricated houses.
No, we were doing it before the Haiti earthquake happened, just as we were beginning to do it. And again, I got a call from Darby and said, hey, we're going to Haiti. I said, what?
You know, people often say, we're going here. It's like a vacation. But you get such calls for service.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm ashamed to say it, but it's like a vacation for us too. We are beginning to enjoy it so much also that it's like a vacation for us.
I think you should be proud to say that. It is fantastic taking a vacation for doing seva. And so you shifted from wood houses to concrete houses to wood houses to now prefabricated houses. And now you say you build a house in one day.
It started when we did the first one in a day. We were so probably we could actually start a house and finish it in one day by, you know, 5 PM. And every time we build one, it just gets shorter and shorter. Right now, it's unbelievable. As he said, I didn't even know that they built one yesterday, but he said they finished it at 9:30 AM.
Wow.
Finished.
And yes, I can personally vouch for it because I was present photographing it and it was so fast. Within 2 hours, I think we had a home ready.
2.5 hours.
Two and a half hours, yes. That day, straight from nothing to a home.
I think the listeners must know this house is painted inside outside. It's a French window, steel doors, a steel roof. It's heat resistant material.
Yes, you also add one
on
material.
The ceiling. So, and now our house, we made a new design just about 2 months ago, which are an attached toilet and bath.
Oh,
we are always tweaking the thing. So now we finished the house with the attached toilet and bath in 3.5 hours is our time. Now, you may say it's a miracle kind of thing that these houses are building. These houses are prefab at a factory. And 6 men, by 12:30, have pre-cut and everything. And then we deliver the house on site. And then a whole team of people. And it's very important to know that the only amount of people that we know are coming on that day to help will be about 12 people. All the other volunteers will come through an email or invite on an email. Nobody is told they have to come. Only the core team, most of them are here, we sure they are coming. And so some houses, we have up to 70 Sevadalas coming, you know, 70. So all we need to build the house in the time is about 30 people, 25, 30, you know, and we can finish. One day, we build a house in rain, in a muddy condition, only 13 of us. You know, it's very difficult. Only 13 people to build a house. It's almost impossible. But our guys persevered. We don't ever stand down. No matter if Swami sends rain, whatever. We work in rain, sun, anything.
You take it as a game?
Of course. Yeah. It's his game.
That would have been good. I don't think we have that one on film. But I'm talking about rain from 6 a.m. to midday. No stop. Just rain. You know, and at the end, the house is dry and the beds and all that.
We dry mop the houses, you know. We dry mop it, wash it out and dry mop it. But that house finished 2 p.m., you know.
Okay.
And yeah, we are tired, but we are more happy than we are tired. And the happiness is taken away from the tiredness. So time we finish, everybody is, oh, it's so nice. People are crying when they get their houses.
Naturally, because if, when you, to the recipient, in fact, I don't think the recipient will even believe it that today morning I have woken up in a home that is bad. And after I finish breakfast, I will be entering a new home that is built for me.
That's very correct. A lot of the times, we may go back to pick up a tool or two, you know, that we have left for them to do something. And they will say they didn't sleep the night before because they are afraid if they go to sleep, the house will disappear.
Oh.
You know, this is how it impacts their mind.
When Dalvi promises them the week before, he comes to them every weekend, he said, next week we come in to build the house on Sunday, it'll be finished on Sunday. That whole week, they don't believe. They say either he's not going to come. They say it's just impossible. And
okay. Naturally, because who will believe that in a day a house can
come?
Because
where they are coming from in most cases is real. I mean, you would see it in India a lot, and it's all over the world. But the abject poverty they're coming for, it's a simple house, but it's a very neat, decent house. It's like giving them Buckingham. It's like if I give you Buckingham Palace. But you say
that they're supposed to own the land. Such poor people also own land?
Yes, most of them get their families to give them a piece of land. Maybe only 3,000 square feet we could work with. You know, and we could find you on a Sunday and get you in your house by next Sunday. With our foundation system, we use steel beams, you know, and we use, the same aluminium frames for the foundation.
Okay.
You know, so the whole house, we could meet you. And by next, actually, the house where you took part in, Arvind, I remember we found that family on a Saturday afternoon. And then that house was completed, as you saw there,
on Thursday
morning.
So how long does it take for the foundation work to go on?
Just one day, a half day, 3 hours now, you know, with a system we use.
Wow.
You know, steel beams and some simple casting and make sure it's level and square.
Now coming to the brass tacks, how much do you think one prefabricated home costs?
Wait, I think you forget something. We have forgotten that the house, these people who we serve, most of them don't even own a pillow. Much more a mattress. Their mattresses are usually what we call the black mattress. You know, they use it over and over. Everything is there is dingy. Very rare somebody will even own a proper chair. And these houses are fully furnished houses.
Oh.
You know, we give them bed, cupboard, clothes, groceries, up to stove they get, cupboard, pots, pans. You know, gas tank, what we call a sink with a tap.
Okay.
You know, couch set, table set with four chairs. Right?
What about the electricals?
Electrical is put in during the week. We send two electricians and they finish that project. They finish in half day. They put the outside wiring, but we put in the current for them. And if they are so poor they can't connect, we will pay for connection also.
My God. So from starting off with painting the ground floor of a school, this is not house building. You should call this home building because you are giving them everything. It's just ready to occupy and start living. And I'm sure they must be washed out with their love. What, can you share some of your experiences of how it felt with the people who received it?
There's a lot of crying. Tears of joy from on both sides. The Seva crew and, I mean, I don't know how they must feel. It is literally that God came and gave them. I mean, we are doing the physical work, but obviously it's not us who's doing it. Everything is a miracle for me. Don't forget, we do this as a business now. We have this, we don't just do the seva. We sell these houses. And if I had to pay a crew to do that house, it'll take a long time, 2 weeks.
Okay.
You know, how it happens, I just don't know. On the day, it just...
So you are on one hand selling these prefabricated homes professionally,
yes,
and using the same prefabricated homes for seva.
Yes.
And you say that the professional team takes a week.
They will never be able to do what the seva team does. Never.
Wow.
I make them feel ashamed when I show them. I say, look, this is 10 in the morning.
So you put your professional team to shame with the seva team.
Yes, by far. By far. I think it's the love and the spirit in, that they're doing it with, that eagerness, but also something beyond that. I
think this is very important for all of us to know, because we often feel that faith, love and all are good, but we don't think that in practically they make so much difference. You are saying that just love in the heart and that passion for God is able to speed up your building process by 700%?
Yes, I'll give you an example of how we impact people. You know, when we build houses now, the whole seva team, we know we are not about the house. We are about lifting that soul, or how many souls are connected. Not only the souls who are in the house, the souls who come to serve also. We lift souls. We offer love to love and lift together. And one example, there is this 35, 40-year-old man. 17 people were living in one house. There was a fire. So he has his wife and 5 children. His mom, father is deceased. His sister, husband is deceased. And the sister has 2 children. So we have to make a decision who is going to get this house.
Okay.
The one with the 5 plus 2 or the one without 2 husbands.
Okay.
So, you know. So when we interviewed that man, he said, okay, we will help. But we had to make a decision because the Rotary Club in our country had built a wooden house for him on the side. Small room, but still he could live there. So we said, we'll serve your mommy and your sister. And they had adopted a grandchild for the mom. So those 5 people will live in this house. So when he heard that, he started to tell his mom, Mom, why are we going to build this? You know, we don't even know who these people are. So many people have promised us something. Now this is 3-4 months after the house was burnt. There is nothing there. Some wood has come, but nothing. Nobody wouldn't come in again. So then we told her, we don't want no trouble. You know, you make a decision, and what you agree, we will do. So, mommy agreed, okay, I will take the house. So, then we called the son, he's living on the same property. Hey, can you help work with us? You know, we will have to do some casting here. Can you get a little crew to just recast, you know, like 3 inches of concrete for us? Just the 20 by 20. And he says, in front of his mom, he says, no, why should I help? You are not helping me. You helping this lady. I cannot help you. This is his mother.
Oh, God.
So, our team, they started to walk off. But I know Swami sending us in each house, there are these issues burning. How do you take out what it is? Selfishness from a soul. And that's the game. So, game on. We see what it is he sent us for. Our challenge, help to get his soul to get rid of selfishness. And game on. So, as the guys walk away, I chided the man. I said, this is your mother. Don't you know what duty to a mother is? You have to. And so, the guys came back. He wasn't so pleased. He kept on his side. But mom said, yes, I will take it. Don't worry about him. So we came in to build that house maybe 2 weeks after. During that day, some rain was falling. So we had to dry mop the place. So he's on the side the whole time. He didn't come to help much. He's standing there and watching how we're doing. But they can't believe what we are building. He probably thought it's some wood house. We say we will finish by 11 o'clock, we tell them. That means we already put all the furniture. So when by maybe 9:30, 10, he see this house is finished. Of course, he's amazed. How can a house build in so much total time? And this is a story, you know, hurricane proof house. And it's painted also. And it's furnished also. So just before it's finished, come now. He said, me?
You called him.
I called him. I said, can you come? He says, who, me? I said, yes, come. Help us mop. Help us dry mop. And happily he came.
Okay.
He was just waiting for that chance to serve now. So he came and he mopped, you know. And maybe 15, 20 minutes we are finished, put all the equipment. And then we call everybody inside for satsang. After the house is finished, we do
you do a satsang?
We just do 3 songs. We do a hymn, a kasida, and bhajan every time.
What? You do a?
A hymn.
Okay.
A kasida. And
kasida
a bhajan.
Kasida is
a? Muslim prayer.
Okay.
And a bhajan.
So, a Christian prayer, a Muslim prayer, and a Hindu prayer.
Yes, to cover most of the religions.
In all the homes that
every
you
home. No matter it's a Muslim family, Christian family, it doesn't matter. So, after the satsang, Swami made sure this guy, he was in the road. So just before the satsang, he went to hide, you know. So I say, hey, you uncle, come here. No, he's younger than me. I still call him uncle. Come. So he came and Swami put him to sit just behind me. And I know Swami's playing this game, you know. Hmm. And I enjoying this game. So when it's time for talking, anybody who wants to say something can give an experience. We gave you 2 minutes to talk. So
you do this after the bhajan.
After the bhajan, there's testimonials.
You tell everybody to speak what
or
they want.
Or anybody who wants to speak, we give 6 or 7 speakers 2 minutes. You know, this is where they get to share their love. Remember, they wouldn't see us again. So this is the only chance they have to say thanks. So we wait and we let them express themselves. That is where the tears come. So I turn to this guy, he's speaking maybe third or fourth. And I turn to him. And I says, in many houses we have found technical people. I'm talking in front of him. And in this house we have found one of the most technical men we have seen, the technical minds. So our crew, who had walked out that day, 3 or 4 of them, they were there and they were smiling, you know. Oh, you are talking about this man, yes? And then, this man, I said, do you want to say something? And he said, yes. And his mom is sitting right there in the couch and he's sitting in the ground. And he's looked at his mom. And all he could say, and he's crying like a baby. And he looks at his mother and he says, Mom, I love you. And that is what Swami went. It had nothing to do with the house.
Not even with the mother. It had to do with that guy. That
soul had to be lifted. This mother has felt his love. After how many years? And that is also part of it. The sisters are crying. How long before their brother had given them this kind of love? And so this whole family is moved. And there is a light now in that village. And that is what Swami is doing.
You know, this is so beautiful because Swami says that is what Seva is about. Even here when he sends the students out for Gram Seva, he says don't think that you are going to the village and you are helping the villages. And we have seen this. He says, you are helping the villages. The villages are helping you. In Seva, everybody benefits. And when you share this example of how house building is one of the ways in which it helps to express and bring out love, it's so beautiful and uplifting indeed.
I want to let you know something. Again, the Seva team is learning. I have already learned this. That it is not we who build in those houses. And there is a concept I have. That if we stand on truth, and this is for all the devotees out there, if we stand on truth, Swami taught me very early that if your heart is pure and your motive is good, you can achieve anything in this world. And it is the same concept we use in the house building now. Now we use it in Grama Seva as we went yesterday to Grama Seva, and we use it every time. That this concept is, if we stand on truth and our heart is pure, and we go to work for God, then truth has to respond to us. And what is truth? Truth is God. So it is very universe which is truth, which is God, has to build that house. It was never us. So we don't take no credit for what we do. It is His work, and He is doing the work, and we are pretending to do His work. And so, all the light of love, again, truth. Truth is the underlying reason for it. So the whole environment, not only that house, the whole village is served with love on that time. And of
you
course,
know, it is fantastic. It is so beautiful. And, you know, you said that almost every weekend you build a house. So, on an average, it's like about 3 to 4 homes, not house, because these are homes. 3 to 4 homes every month. So, which comes to about, you know, doing the math, it comes to at least about 40 homes a year. So, you started off by painting a school, and now you're doing 40 homes a year. Definitely there's a huge financial cost involved. How do you manage that?
Swami has given a business where he manages that money.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Given a business which injects money into it. Right?
But you know, for example, ethics do not allow you to use business money is for business, right? It cannot be used directly into the...
In our business, that is not so.
Okay.
The business Swami put me, even when my father was there, was never our business. So the money is making only to serve him.
So yours is not a public listed company?
No.
It's a private company.
It's a private company. And like with Danny here, Danny would subsidize the house when he sells it to us.
Okay.
So already money saved.
Okay.
I'll give you an idea. Last year, one of our members of our Sai Center said, I want to pay for 2 houses. He's financially well off, a good businessman. I said, yes, we'll allow you to pay for 2 houses under one condition. we want you to come and help select when we are going to do feasibility. We want you to see who is getting your house. We don't want you to come to see. Now, he's an older gentleman. But still, you have to come to see. So, at first he agreed he will try. And over 2 or 3 months, he couldn't make it. And then he's coming in October and pleading, hey, the year is finishing. Please allow me to buy 2 houses. You know, I want to pay for them. And so they get that chance. You know, only because he's in every single project. He comes to the project, but he doesn't have time to go to do the feasibility. Because feasibility takes long. Because to do 6 families may take a whole afternoon. Like 4 or 5 hours. Because we have to drive all over Trinidad and look for these houses. Because all we have sometimes is a name and a phone number.
Okay.
There are no proper addresses. You know, and we have to go and hunt, if you want to call it that, find these people somewhere living in Trinidad in some side road. Most of the time, I see Swami put them in the end of some road, in the end of the road, you're last, you know. So we have to look like this. And all that effort is there with love. And I tell you, even our wives are jealous. When the guys go to do these surveys, we are so full. And we come back so happy that sometimes they want to know, hey, why are you going, you know, like this, you know. You are so happy. You are too happy.
No, so from what I could gather, both of you have got successful businesses that is generating quite a lot of resources, which you use for the seva. Does it not affect your business negatively? I mean, usually people use profits in order to grow their business even larger. But you say that you're using a large part of your profits into seva. Does that not adversely affect your business, Danny?
But our business is a little different in that Pennywise is a side business. I am a side devotee, but not everyone in my family is.
Okay.
So it's a little more of a dicey situation for us, but we get the support. They know what we're doing, and no matter what we do, the business still does well. You know, it's amazing that the more you do, it just keeps coming somehow.
You've seen that happening?
Yes, yes.
You mean to say the more you serve and give, your business is prospering more?
Yes, yes.
And he said Pennywise is a Psy business. So, you know, recently you were interviewed by Forbes as one of the most successful entrepreneurs and businessmen in the West Indies region. It is really amazing because this is something that we have heard in theory when Swami speaks. You know, he says that when you invest in love, you have invested in the greatest treasure in the world. He says men are more important than all the wealth in the world. Though we have heard this, very few of us have got the chance to actually see it in action. And so can you kindly tell us, how is it that happens that though a large part of the profits is going into the service and yet your business is prospering, do they happen at the same time?
Of course, we never ever up till now check how much money is going into seva.
Okay.
Never. We never did, but never. Swami's business is only making money to serve his own business, and his business is love.
Wow.
So he has a duty to get it to go. If he slows down, we slow down. I told him, you know, if he wants to do more, he knows what he has to do. We have no connect with any wealth. You see, I learned very early in my business. I've been sitting in this chair as the director for 25 years. But I don't take more than 40 of our dollars out of that draw. No.
No.
From our petty cash draw self, not more than $40. Because I've told Swami, if I take money willingly that is not mine, he could move me from my chair.
Okay.
Because all the money on Pennywise side is not mine, it is his money.
Oh, you believe you're just a trustee?
100% so. So I am very afraid to take money. I always have to write down, you know, in a little slip how much money I'm taking from my petty cash to make sure I return it. You know,
okay.
This is how, you know, in one side I have my personal checking account, next side I have his account. So if I take, I just write back a check and put it back from petty cash. It's like that. So we manage it like this. And that way, we don't have to worry what's happening in the business itself. Because from the top, the values are there. Straight down under with our 600 or so employees, we don't have to worry who is putting their hand in his coffer. Because I have given Swami the all clear, and he's given me his all clear. Not anybody who puts his hand in his coffer, he will have to move them. So I have no responsibility for that either. So if employees are doing the wrong thing, it is his loss, not my loss. I have not lost nothing. I started with nothing, I'll end with nothing.
This is simply dramatic, you know, because people may speak about it in theory, but to see a successful large company really putting it into practice is amazing. You say you have got 600 employees. And, I mean, does not giving away profits for service impact the salaries of the employees? I mean, do they get their raises in time?
We are the only company who for the last 25 years that we know, one, we pay all our taxes for all our workers.
Okay.
No matter what their salary range.
You pay for all your workers?
All our workers.
Wow.
If they work for 4 years or more, we give them free medical insurance.
Okay.
They have gotten a pay for the last 25 years at the 1st of January for the last 25 years, including this year.
Wow.
Right? Because we feel that the people who are making the money to serve should be served first. Right? And we teach them that the shampoo, this is done in practical. When we train our staff, we do the training for our staff to remind them that all this role they act in as a saleswoman and so on has nothing to do with that. It has to do with how to sell love. So we show them that the shampoo, the cream, the every single thing in that store, and we have 18,000 different SKUs or different items now. So everything, all is, and it's only personal care. So everything a woman needs is there. Everything is personal care. Personal, it has to go on you. And if it goes on you, and love goes on you, what happens? So if the shampoo, beyond the form of the shampoo, is God energy, if you sell with love, it will be like doing seva. Same. So you sell with love, love is sold, and then they use love, and what happens? The soul is lifted. And so, the business as a whole, our employees are learning that it's more than a transaction of business. It is a love transaction. And so the country will change very rapidly because we feel right now we have the most customers of any retail establishment in Trinidad and Tobago. You know, like I'll give you one more stat. In a busy day, over 30,000 people will buy something in Pennywise.
Wow.
On one day.
And what you said about the employee, you know, you're telling that we are giving love. I find it so true. I can personally vouch for it because when you had taken us to your store, Pennywise, you know, behind your back, we just went and met a few employees. And we put a question to them, you know, a question which I thought will put them into trouble because they may not know the answer. And the question was this. They were always speaking about boss and super boss. First, I didn't understand who was the super boss. Later on, I realized when they pointed out to Swami's picture, you know, there are Swami's pictures all along, all around in the warehouse, all around in all your stores, which itself I found amazing. I mean, because in a far-flung Trinidad, in a huge store which is all cosmetics and the poshest kind of personal care products, you see so many of Swami's pictures. So, when I asked them, do they know what is Swami's philosophy, they were very much up with it. It was simply amazing. They have not seen Swami. They have not read much of his literature. But simply being in the company, they know what it means. What is Swami? So then I asked them, see, Swami says we must have a ceiling on desires. That is, we should not have excess desires. But you are selling products which are supposed to be influencing desires. Don't you find these two clashing? You know, the employee, I was so shocked because he didn't even wait for a moment. Without even blinking his eye, he said, I'm not selling. He picked up a razor blade that was there. He said, this is not razor blade. This is love. I'm just spreading love. And love is something that everybody always needs. And that's why our business will never go down. Because I'm not selling soaps. I'm not selling razors. We are sharing love. And for love, people will keep coming to us. And apparently, the statistics of the growth of Pennywise shows that love is indeed making a magical difference. It is. It was a very amazing aspect. Yes, going on.
There is one other thing. One little project we did. We call it little because with Swami, everything is so tiny. But for individuals, it may seem big. Even for me, it's tiny. But it's noteworthy in this service interview. Where in the first week of May and the first week of June, we had brought doctors to our country.
Okay.
You know, where we got this chance to do some heart operations. You know, and we feel outside of India, these projects very rarely within the Sai fold has happened, where a team of doctors were brought in for 2 weeks, and they did, within our hospital system, 68 angioplasty heart surgeries.
Wow.
You know, and our hospital system in Trinidad, just that is about the number they do in 2 years.
Oh,
and in the same hospital, with a team, and one was a Sai student from LA, which is a naval commander, He's a Upmahat specialist. He was there and he's coming back to do some Upmahat. Actually, he does Blue Babies, not Upmahat.
Okay.
So he's coming already excited to come back, you know. I don't know his name right now. And there is one other project Swami is allowing us. And so many skeptics are there, you know. It can't happen, it can't happen. And our committee was just four people for the open heart surgery. The doctor, the central coordinator, and I guess me and my brother. There was an earlier committee and then it went down to four Swami, select just four, and then allowed it to happen. And then we are doing one other project that is ongoing, you know. And maybe these devotees could look forward to it. We are going to try, not try, we are going to achieve, with Swami's grace, there is a 2.5 year waiting list for cataract surgery in our country.
Mm.
And in January, February 2014, from now, everybody is saying it cannot happen. And the challenge is there. And we have taken up the challenge that we're going to bring down that list to zero.
Oh.
In January, February, you know, with the SAI organizations, of course, full input. And even the doctor, who is the lead, doesn't even know who is the lead yet because he is the head of our cataract surgery team in Trinidad. He's not even been approached. And that program, he will lead. And so Swami have already requested that he put him to lead. And of course, Swami does anything. We don't do anything. And that doctor is already the lead and he doesn't know it, you know. And I don't want to call his name. I'll tell you privately who his name is because he might hear, you know, I've called his name. And he'll be the lead. And that same doctor, who it seems the hospital system cannot catch the people, that same doctor will get us and we'll go around the system and we'll get this other type of service done, you know. And saving people from going blind. What higher service can we do? All these different types of service leads to one thing, sharing of love.
Well, Brother Dalvi, Brother Danny, it's been awesome, wonderful, uplifting to speak to you, if I may be allowed. The message that we can get, the way you have led your lives, inspired by Swami, inspired by values that your parents have put into you, is that if at all we have a pure intent and if we have love, all the other resources that we need will automatically come. And your lives are testimony to that fact, because both of you have come from a poor background. And today you are on top of the world in every sense, materially, spiritually, in the heart, in the mind. And as you have put it, all this has happened because you have given total charge to Swami and done everything with a pure intention. And you two are really amazing examples and inspiring examples for us, because it shows that spirituality doesn't mean giving up everything, losing everything, becoming a person on the street and not having anything. We often have a misconception that if you are spiritual, you will not prosper. Here are two standing examples, sitting examples now, of spirituality and prosperity going hand in hand. The more you give, the more you get. Is that a good way to sum this up?
Yes, only one thing. We'd like if the people out there, the devotees out there, want to see some of these projects, maybe they can go to a hidden, we'll now unfold that website for you. It's a hidden website we have on YouTube.
So we just have to go to YouTube and type in the keywords
PASEA, Page Sai Center,
Page Sai Center,
House Building Project.
So if we go to YouTube and type in the keywords Page Sai Center, House Building Project, we will throw up the videos. And dear listeners, we will be able to witness these miracles of home building. It's not house building, it's home building that's happening within hours, transforming lives, touching people, and allowing the growth and spread of spontaneous love, divine love, Swami's love.
We hope that these videos will also inspire others like us throughout the whole world to start, even to connect with us. And we will, if you need to, teach you how to get these projects online, you know.
Okay.
So, of course.
Definitely. So. Yeah, definitely. So, dear listeners, if you are interested in this kind of service and wish to get more details on how to get started, how to go ahead, yes, you can definitely write in to us and we will put you in touch with the people concerned. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.
Jai Sai Ram.
हे प्रेम स्वरूपिणी मा करुणामयी जननी करुणामयी जननी मा।